all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, greetings to you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be able to share again with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. And thank you for calling in. Thank you for spending the time, and I hope it is a blessing. We've tried to make it a blessing by having different brothers share. We have about 10 different brothers that share 1 week at a time, 7 days. And, you know, each one of the brothers are different walks, different ages, different upbringing in their life, and they bring different things. It's a blessing for me to be able to listen to the Daily Inspiration and hear the various brothers sharing, and I appreciate having the opportunity to do this myself. So this week is my week to share, Sunday through Saturday. And this week I would like to share from various passages of Scripture that have meant a lot to me. They're kind of like my favorite chapters. And even I think probably most of these that we'll be sharing on this week are chapters that I have memorized personally, and we memorized them as a family. And they mean a lot to me. And the verse that I started out with was Isaiah 53, verse 6. And I'd like to read this chapter. It's not real long, but I'd like to make some comments as we go through here. Isaiah 53. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. And if not, you can just listen in. And thanks again for listening. Thanks for calling in. And we just do pray and hope that these daily inspirations are a blessing. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So here's two questions. Who's believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, the ones who have believed the report or the word of God, and the one in whom the arm of the Lord is revealed, is the believer. It's the Christian. It's the one who has put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to follow God with all his heart. Verse 2, for he, now it has this personal pronoun, he, which is talking about Jesus Christ. For he shall grow up before him, and the him there is God the Father. So we have the Father and the Son. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, meaning when he came to this earth, he came as a baby, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And those two words, I've looked them up, and the word form can also mean beauty, and comeliness can mean majesty. So he didn't have any beauty or comely or majesty. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And I think what that's saying is that he wasn't just this beautiful person that, you know, everybody's eyes would just say, oh, well, this person is just the most beautiful person in the world as far as a physical form or there's some men and women that are just born with a lot of beauty in them. And I think everybody, because we're God's creation, have beauty. But I think the idea here is he wasn't just this macho man that was just the most handsome, majestic man ever born to this earth. He was just a plain-looking person, probably a lot like you or myself. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Well, he was despised. He was rejected of the Romans. They put him to death. The Jews, they accused him, even falsely. They brought false accusations to the Romans and wanted him put to death. He was rejected of even his disciples and those that followed him. He was acquainted with sorrows. He was a man of sorrows even in his earthly life. As he looked over Jerusalem, he wept tears as he cried over Jerusalem, saying, why wouldn't you receive me? Why wouldn't you believe? And he said, I came and I would have gathered you up and protected you and watched over you and blessed you, but instead you rejected the very gift that I am. So he wasn't esteemed. He was rejected, and he was acquainted with sorrows. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In those two words, griefs and sorrows, those could also be translated into English with sickness for griefs and pains with sorrows. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And this verse 4 is oftentimes used, and the next one also, as healing in the atonement, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of his giving his life on the cross and what's followed here in the next several verses, that our physical healing, our sicknesses and our pains are part of his atonement, his work on the cross. But I disagree with that for many different reasons, and I'll just give you one here. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and this is talking about Jesus' earthly ministry when he was here. In verse 16 it says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So this is the very scripture that this is talking about, him taking our infirmities and bearing our sicknesses. And when did he do that? Was it when he was hanging on the cross that he said these words? No. It was when he was healing, when he had his earthly ministry of healing all that were possessed with devils and cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. This was his earthly ministry, that he was bearing our sicknesses and carrying our sorrows. And this is one of the reasons why I don't believe healing is in the atonement. This isn't talking about the atonement. The prophecy was fulfilled. It says right here in Matthew it was fulfilled in the earthly ministry of Jesus. I do believe in the provision of healing, and that God still heals today. In fact, I heard a testimony here a week or so ago of a miraculous healing, and where it was only God that did it, took this tumor away out of a child, and out of a young child or a young man. Anyway, so this is I do believe that God does heal even today. But it's not part of the atonement. If it was, then the Christian wouldn't get sick and die. And so anyway, I don't want to just dwell on that. I wanted to just go through this chapter here. But it goes on in verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I think that's talking about spiritual healing, that by his stripes, by the stripes that were put upon his back, by his blood that was shed, we are healed spiritually. It's not, that verse, I don't believe, is talking about our physical healing, but our spiritual healing. For it says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's the verse I started with here this morning. And it says that we are like sheep. We've gone our own way. We've gone astray, and we turn everyone to his own way. You know, that's all it takes for us to be lost, is that we just go our own way. And, you know, some people say, well, oh, it's because of this sin or that sin, or because of, you know, committing lust or all these different things. Well, yeah, those are terrible sins that will take us to hell because we are sinners. But really, the root of it all is that we're just going our own way, and every one of us have gone our own way, and that's enough. That's enough penalty for us to be lost and forever sent to the hell fire because we have turned everyone to his own way. But because of that, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be the offering for our sin, that our sin is laid upon him if we put our trust in him and if we see him as our Savior. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And that was clearly fulfilled when he was brought before the Sanhedrin and when he was brought before the Roman rulers. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't make a defense. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. The reason why is, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, the two thieves on the cross, and with the rich in his death, the tomb of a rich man that he was buried in, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was without sin. There was no iniquity in him. He had no sin, but he was made sin for us, for you and for me. And he is the only way of salvation. It's not by any church membership. It's not by any good works that we do. It's not by any good lifestyle that we live, or even plain lifestyle that we live. But it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved, and that we are saved. That's the only way that we're saved. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life through faith and by believing in the sacrifice that was made for you, you're not saved. It's only through the blood of Christ. It's not through any other thing. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God the Father to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ and to put him to grief. Why? That he would be an offering for sin. It says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, the seed of all those that believe in him. The seed of Jesus Christ is the believers, the Christians, the true Christians that see the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope and their only salvation. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And I praise God for that. It's speaking of the resurrection to me there. It's speaking of life with Jesus Christ. It's speaking of a home in heaven with him. Verse 11 says, and he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Because of the offering that Jesus Christ made, God the Father will be satisfied that you won't have to be judged for your sins, because Jesus was already judged if you put your faith and trust in him. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So God bless you. That's Isaiah chapter 53. It means a lot to me, and I hope it means a lot to you, because it's all boiled down in those few verses there. Salvation by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I put my trust in, and I hope you do the same. So God bless you. Thanks for listening, and we'll meet again, Lord willing, tomorrow.